Ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere on the great Llano Estacado, it's the one who tells it like he sees it. The one who thinks it's rude not to talk about politics and religion. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story today, Lieutenant Governor Patrick endorses Wayne Christian for re-election to Railroad Commission in the runoff, and we learn that Christian's opponent, Take It Off Stogner, is taken money after all, after claiming she wasn't taking any money. In fact, not a little money, $2 million of it from a single donor. And wait till you hear about this donor and what utter hypocrisy all of this is from that Stogner character. Also, we got other political news and other news of Texas to get to all in the show. I tell you, yesterday's show was just one of those shows where it was just hard to get going. And I don't mean from an attitude or, you know, tired or anything. I just couldn't speak well. I don't know. You may not notice it. I just felt like I was, you know, as I've said before, running not just through water, but running through Jell-O. It was really tough today. Everything seems normal. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. So you can go back and listen to that and see if you detect the fact that I was really having trouble. You get the podcast to the show. It's free of charge and also long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. Just click on where it says about the podcast. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. We want to begin the show today with a look at Texas history. This was an interesting event. There are three things to point out that I want to remind you of. One is something that is often overlooked, and how Mexico continued to try to foil the Republic of Texas. And also, this was the big Twin Peaks shootout. That's right. You believe that was 7 years ago in Waco. And I turned out to be right on pretty much everything in that, even though it caused a lot of frustration amongst people who called radio affiliates and complained and everything, but turned out I was right. We'll get to that in a moment. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, security surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and more. They even do financial crime investigations. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. They sponsor our look at Texas history. I want to start with, one little thing. In 1913, those of you really know a lot about Texas and its history and the glamour and how the rest of the nation began to see Texas. The Rice Hotel in Houston was one of those things, and there were other hotels later, but the parties thrown and things were of legend. It was this day in 1913, and the 17th of May, that the Rice Hotel opened in Houston. Now, 7 years ago today, shootout at Waco Twin Peaks leaves 9 dead, 18 wounded. KWTX, hometown market coverage on this. And, of course, I covered this as all that was going on and in detail. And I just want to, I'm not going to go through any of the detail. No law enforcement was killed. This thing looks like this entire thing, and the coverage of it was so slanted. The entire thing looks like a complete bumbling of government agencies, local police particularly, the Waco PD, their spokesman, who I used to make fun of, wasn't his name Swanton? Yeah, he just out saying things you don't say. Everything about it looked to be a nightmare. The Alcohol and Beverage Commission, TACB, and the state police, just all kinds of crazy stuff on this. 9 people died, 18 others were wounded when the gangs, motorcycle groups went after each other. But these weren't all gangs. There were people there from all over, just normal people that liked to get out and ride motorcycle groups. This thing was such a cluster bleep. It's unbelievable. And all you've got to do, well, let's just remember that was 7 years ago, May 17, 2015. KWTX says the shootout was the deadliest and most high-profile event in the Waco area since the botched federal siege of the Branch Davidian compound in 1993. That's their word, botched. In the end, it's late in their story. And this is all I'm going to point out because there were even, I think even the ex-wife of the chief of police in one of my affiliate markets called into the show. Matter now. They were all mad at me. I'm not supporting the police. I'm sorry, just looking at the facts and not the crap being thrown by Swanton. And I'm sorry, just about everything I said in that thing turned out to be true. Here's the paragraph summing it up in the local, you know, the friendly media market to Waco. In the end, the event led to a five-year-long prosecutorial fiasco that ultimately resulted in not a single conviction, in spite of the fact that 177 bikers were arrested at the scene and 15 others were later charged as well. Well, you got the real story. Somebody who knows language well enough to look through it and analyze in near real time at that time the statements being made by people and in the weeks that followed. And I told you this was going to be the result. Not one conviction. They'd let all these people go. In fact, that's the friendly deal. I think the DA ended up losing the job. I think there was a lot of changes at the PD. It just doesn't mean some people didn't do wrong things there, but it almost as if the whole thing were set up to become a powder keg and for this to happen by local police. It was just bad. And I don't mean all the officers on the ground. I mean the people that were planning all this and not working with the TABC and others. So that what a fiasco that was, and people lost their lives. They're horrible. Now, the other big Texas history thing I want to get in today. It was this day in 1839. So remember, we won independence in 1836 on April 21st with the defeat of Santa Anna and his army at San Jacinto. This is May of 1839. We're in the early half of the decade of the Republic. Manuel Flores and his band were defeated on the North San Gabriel River by the Texas Rangers. This is out to, Georgetown, I think. I think it's near Georgetown area, north of Austin. Flores had led an expedition from Matamoros, Mexico, carrying war supplies to Texas Indians, whom the Mexicans were trying to organize as allies. After killing four members of a party of surveyors between Seguin and San Antonio on 14 May, the Flores group was trailed by a company of Rangers for 2 days. Some of the Rangers, led by Lieutenant James O. Rice, confronted the Mexican group on the North San Gabriel on 17 May and routed them. Flores was reported among the dead. In the baggage removed after the skirmish, the Texans found several documents that seemed to link the Cherokee Indians with the Mexican plot to reconquer Texas. These documents prompted President Lamar to demand the Cherokees leave Texas, and this precipitated the Cherokee War. So just a reminder that freedom is never won. I mean, this is the problem with people today. They think, oh, we won. No, freedom and liberty and everything, at every level, every bit of sanity, whether it's the libraries in your local schools for the books your kids see, it doesn't matter what level it is. It's never, never a done deal, folks. Not while this world is still in the hands of Satan until the second coming. It's just of Christ. It's just not. And we have to fight. We have to always fight, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I wanted to mention I told you a little bit and was running out of time, so I didn't get back to it. The attack on the church of Taiwanese folks and we said to David Chow, the doctor there, was a hero. He fought off this guy with the gun, who was another, you know, mainland Chinese, hates Taiwanese people, part of this, you know, hatred the Communist Party spreads everywhere. Another old guy, but 68-year-old, went in there and shooting. The doctor that jumped in front of everybody and let him overtake him ended up taking a bullet, Dr. Cheng, and he was a Baylor graduate, and I didn't get that to you yesterday, and also a graduate of Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in the School of Medicine in Lubbock. And he is a hero, and he did the right thing. He fought evil, dedicated his life to saving lives, and he ended his life saving a lot of lives. We just pray for he and his family and all those affected in that church. We'll be back in a moment with more on Pratt on Texas.
Don't like the brakes? Some say the brakes are better than Pratt. But then again, those folks don't listen.
I wouldn't be without my license to carry, as it protects me in New Mexico and other states, and it makes buying a new firearm much faster. West Texas Justice provides full Texas license to carry training at only $65. And instructor David Mead offers full service training even for beginners. David is a retired deputy U.S. Marshal and certified Texas licensed to carry instructor. Be wise, be trained, be legal. Inquire today at westtexasjustice.com. That's westtexasjustice.com. WestTexasJustice.com.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Those of you listening in New Mexico and Oklahoma, we know you're all closet Texans at heart. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Now, here's the man himself, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Following up on some comments that I made yesterday, I've put it a bit more formally. Poll shows astounding ignorance on Texas property taxes. You know how it is. After all these years, what, 16 years of it, each year I find myself having to explain this time of year and all summer to Texans that in general, across a taxing district, average higher property value appraisals do not raise your property taxes. That is done solely by the votes of local government officials when they set a new property tax rate for their upcoming budget year. Maybe one of the reasons local officials, along with cooperative or ignorant local media, find it so easy to mislead voters into thinking they, the local politicians, are not directly and solely responsible for raising property taxes is that much of the public thinks the state of Texas levies those taxes. This May 2022 UT Tyler Dallas Morning News runoff poll asked Texans, who do you believe is responsible for higher property taxes in Texas? The answers were astonishing. The largest cohort of those polled said Governor Abbott and Texas legislators are responsible. 40% of all respondents blamed the state government, even though the state government does not levy any property tax. 40%! According to the poll, 60% of Democrats blame the governor and state legislators. No surprise that they're the stupidest amongst us. But it ain't very good that more than a third of independents did the same, 34%, and more than a quarter of Republicans, 26%, blamed the people who do not levy, do not set a tax rate for, or collect a property tax for, quote, higher property taxes in Texas. No wonder elected officials who run cities, counties, school districts, and special purpose districts that local voters have created get away with claiming they are not raising property taxes when so many people wrongly think such is done by legislators in Austin. Whether you call it the effective tax rate or the no new revenue tax rate, Texans must remember that in aggregate across a taxing district, school, city, county, etc., their boundaries, higher property value appraisals do not raise property taxes. Tax increases are made solely by local government officials when they set a new tax rate each summer for their coming fiscal year. And again, they don't raise or lower the tax rate. It goes away completely, and you have a new set of numbers. And then they set a tax rate. Each year after new appraised values are set, each local government which levies a property tax must calculate and publish the no new revenue tax rate. That figure, which reflects appraisal changes, keeps their tax money take equal to the previous year's take in aggregate and average over their taxing district from existing properties taxed in the previous year. last year's tax rate, so often talked about in the context of raising or lowering it, is meaningless. And they always come out, well, we've kept the tax rate level. No, you haven't. It goes away. It's a totally new set of numbers from which a tax rate is set every year. This is all a lie. They don't raise or lower it because it's not out there to be raised or lowered. It goes away and has to completely be recalculated, with the base number becoming the what we used to call the effective rate, which is now called the no new revenue tax rate. For example, if your city's appraised values on pre-existing property increased 5%, the no new revenue or effective tax rate is lowered by about that amount, by about 5%, to produce the same revenue from those same properties as was billed the year before. You see, the tax rate plays no role in that. It goes away. It has to be reset with the new numbers. But they lie, lie, lie. A lot of it's out of ignorance. A lot of it's out of malice to hide. Well, we've kept the tax rate the same. No, you haven't. It goes away every year. Well, the same number, Robert. Well, yeah, but it's not keeping the tax rate the same because it doesn't carry over. Every year you get a fresh set of numbers and you have to start from the no new revenue rate, the effective rate. When officials say they kept the tax rate the same as the year before, if there was an increase in appraised values, that means they chose to raise your taxes. Understand that the previous year's rate has no meaning in determining whether officials voted to increase or lower property taxes. The base numbers are completely reset each year after the annual round of appraisals. Don't be fooled. And don't be so ignorant as to think legislators and the state's governor are directly responsible for your property taxes. Those taxes are levied solely at the local level with a new, fresh rate set each year by local elected officials who increase taxes when they decide they want more money from existing taxpayers than they took the previous year. There is nothing that forces them to take more money. You could triple the appraised value. It doesn't force them to take one penny more. They have to set a new tax rate every year, and the baseline they use to calculate that is the effective rate, the no new revenue rate, which means that across the district, in average, there would be essentially no more money collected than they collected the year before from those same taxpayers. Now, new development and stuff like that, that's outside their window. They get that as a windfall. Only local votes to adopt the no new revenue tax rate or one lower is voting for no tax increase. And those decisions are made by the elected officials running your various local governments, not legislators in Austin. I just astounded. All these years of this being the biggest political issue, and 40% total, 60% of Democrats, over a quarter of Republicans, think the governor and the legislature has something to do with your property tax bill in that sense, that they're the ones raising your property taxes. If anything, the ledge has spent the last 10 years working, figuring out ways to try to force local governments, particularly school districts, which they have sway over because they write the funding formulas, to lower your property taxes. I mean, it just shows how stupid people are. You cannot have, or how ignorant they are, you cannot have a functioning republic with people that don't even understand the very basics of how things work. Dallas police have arrested a suspect and are processing the suspect in relation to the shooting in the what they call Koreatown, the little Korean area there where somebody walked in and shot up and injured some hairdressers, a hairdressing salon. But the feds have jumped in, of course. The FBI has jumped in and said, we're investigating this as a federal hate crime. You know what? Go away, Phibbies, because the state of Texas has stronger punishments than you feds do anyway. And there is no love crime that you go in and shoot people up and that was a love crime. I mean, they're all hate crime. Go away. Your jurisdiction, go away. None of your business. The state of Texas will do just fine taking care of the person that went in there and shot these people up. Person of interest detained at Mejia High School after bullet holes are spotted in the restroom. They've got the campus closed today. This took place yesterday, Monday morning, and people heard a loud bang. They went in, found a bunch of bullet holes in the restroom, and so they locked it down. They're doing a full investigation. Also, my friends, a man who was denied the purchase of a handgun because he had an out-of-state ID in Wichita Falls at the Academy store. Oh, he was mad the whole time. Then he demanded the manager give him a 12-gauge shotgun. Okay, instead, so this David Scott Nolan, allegedly 32-year-olds, they go up to pay. Turns out he doesn't have the money to pay. Then he goes back, uses a knife, pulls a knife, and demands they give him the shotgun. He's going to the clink. Looks like our systems work just fine. And out of Merkel, KRBC reporting two juveniles, 11 and 12-year-old males, were caught on surveillance video causing all kinds of damage to the school there. And then K-Tex has reported today that they got an update on the damage. A couple of science classes were destroyed after being flooded. Several scientific calculators destroyed as well. Fires were set throughout the school, and concession stands for baseball and softball fields were damaged. That was pretty serious damage there at Merkel. And, we've got a lot of other news to get to. We'll do that when we get back after the break, when we hear from the fine folks that make Pride on Texas possible on both our podcast and on our radio affiliates. Stay with us, my friends.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Do you think going to the dentist for a lot of work can be fun? How about if it cost you much less and as part of the deal, you got a wonderful vacation in one of the world's most desired locations? Costa Rica is world-renowned for dentistry and its dental laboratories, and our dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga of DentoCare, provides the kind of expert, personalized service you would think only the super wealthy would get. I'm not kidding about that. Costa Rica is also one of the most desirable countries to visit in summer or winter, and you'll even be near Texas Tech's new campus when with Dr. Zuniga. Many Pride on Texas listeners have made the trip a few more than once and have said it was one of the best decisions they've made. Learn more about our dentist and friend, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and DentoCare, by clicking the banner at prideontexas.com. Go to prideontexas.com and click on the DentoCare banner. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Pratt believes the best way to ensure limited government is to limit the number of libs and rhinos who get elected to office. Don't worry, he'll tell you who they are. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Our Lone Star Story of the Day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. They are great friends of this show, and they're your great friends. They provide affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions. And I mean, it is affordable enough that in many cases, your insurance, for some of you out there, your discount may be much higher than the annual cost. And truckers and fleet owners, they are your best friend, Allied Compliance Services is, with your DOT testing regulations and all the little database of drivers you fleet owners now have and keep up with. They'll be your third-party administrator with that. They're excellent. Help you whenever you have a problem, no matter where you are in the country. You'll have a person right here in Texas finding you that place to do the sample and everything else. They are full service, and they are very affordable. I've heard from many truckers said they are absolutely fabulous. AlliedCompliance.com, they sponsor our Lone Star Story of the Day. And that is all about the race, the runoff race in the Republican primary for Railroad Commission. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick had not bothered to get involved in that election, and yet finally has sent out a statement. I endorse Wayne Christian for re-election to the Texas Railroad Commission. In this low turnout runoff election, every vote's important. Railroad Commission oversees the oil and gas industry. I'll continue to work with the industry and commission, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you get it. And by the way, he's endorsed Don Buckingham for land commissioner. I have recommended Don Buckingham for land commissioner and Ken Paxton for attorney general. So I wondered if that was a race that the lieutenant governor was simply staying away from for just sometimes you just don't want to bother with it. And the railroad commission and the legislature butt heads sometimes. My guess is he was motivated by more of the antics of this Stogner. Isn't her name? Is it Sarah? Yeah, Sarah Stogner, S-T-O-G-N-E-R. Take it off Stogner. You know, she's the woman that in that crowded field of people who didn't have any campaign money trying to take on my good friend and a friend of all of you who are conservatives, Grammy Award winning gospel singer, former longtime state legislator, one of our great people that helped us win a majority over the Democrats and was had a great career in the legislature. No stain on his record at all that I could know about. Now, I was around Wayne Christian all these years. They all ran against Wayne Christian, and interestingly, you know, they didn't spend money and they wanted to get noticed, and it tells you what kind of person this Stogner is. She goes out on a photo deal and takes her top off sitting out by a pump jack and, of course, gets international media and gets all kinds of social media. I mean, that was the trick. And so she ends up in the runoff because she had the most name ID on a group of candidates that most voters didn't know anything about or knew very little about. Well, a lot of stories, none in the mainstream press that I saw today, except the Texas Tribune, and of course they're going to color it their way, but the fact is this woman's been running on the fact that she's not taking any contributions because Wayne Christian's evil because, like every other member of the Railroad Commission and all the ones that have ever been there, they've taken campaign donations from people who are in the business of oil and gas and, you know, business before the commission. Well, that's who do you think would bother to support those? Just like in your local town, when you have a judge race, look at the financial forms because other lawyers are the biggest, because it's their interest area. And oh my gosh, Wayne Christian's horrible. And I told you that Tomlinson lefty columnist at the Houston Chronicle called his campaign, there's nothing godly about Wayne Christian's campaign and blah, blah, blah. How, what a horrible guy he is. Of course, if you read the piece, you figured it out real quick. Wayne Christian is an unabashed non-leftist. He's not part of the climate's going to kill us all stuff. And that was clearly their gripe with him. And they like this Stogner. And he bragged on her because she's not taking money from interest outside and blah, blah, blah. Well, she's beat the hell out of Wayne Christian over one donation from a group. Well, he voted on something. They have a huge amount of business comes up at every meeting. Most of it is perfunctory licensing things. It's just like you going down and getting in many cases, it's as simple as you applied, let's say your city council, let's say every time the office itself didn't give out permits for garage sales, but that they just stacked them up and then, you know, submitted them to the next council meeting as a perfunctory review for the council. Staff recommends them. Council rubber stamps it. Boom, that's it. Well, that's how a lot of business is done down there. So Wayne Christian gets a donation to his campaign from somebody that was dead, which is not unusual. It's pretty much normal. And so she's going after this guy because, well, he in the media, of course, who doesn't like any outspoken conservative, and Wayne Christian's a social warrior conservative Christian Republican. You get me? I mean, it's like Paxton. He doesn't limit his comments to oil and gas. He talks about Trump and good things Trump did and the international economy and how the leftists and the climate people are trying to put our oil and gas business out of our industry out of business. He's that kind of guy. They don't like him. So they've jumped on with all these stories about that Stogner, and then they talk her up. She's a lawyer. She's a lefty. Well, here's part of the story today as written by Brandon Walton's at the Scorecard. With the exception of with the exception of $124 collected at a Bowie County Patriots meeting, who Stogner says passed around a hat for collections after seeing her speak, the only other contribution reported by Stogner, remember she's been running on no contributions, especially from any, but not from anybody, has business before the commission. Her other contribution, folks, it ain't $2,000, it ain't $20,000, it ain't $200,000. $2 million of in-kind donations from Ashley Watt. Who is Ashley Watt? Ashley Watt is a man named Andrew Watt who now lives as a transsexual rancher. That's right. and Stroegner has a very close relationship with, serves as Watt's lawyer, and lives on his ranch in West Texas. And thank you, Texas Scorecard. It's his ranch, not her ranch, just because Mr. Watt decided to go by the name of Ashley and pretend to be a woman. Watt is involved in the race because Watt's been mad about an old oil well from a long time ago, a Chevron oil well that blew out and put brine water in the aquifer in his ranch. And I mean, that's something that happened many, many years ago. It may have been decades ago that well was there and capped. And Mr. Watt has full rights for civil damages against Chevron or whomever. But instead, said it forced him to sell his entire cattle herd and all that. Okay. And claims the Railroad Commission teamed up with Chevron to work against me. Well, there's no teaming up. Railroad Commission is just a party if you take this to civil court. But you see how it goes. But here's the point. Meanwhile, Stogner's criticized Wayne Christian for accepting campaign contributions from parties who have business before the commission. Christian points out Stogner's criticism is hypocritical. I'll say it's uber hypocritical. It's the height of hypocrisy for Sarah Stogner to criticize me for taking a contribution from someone who recently had business before the commission when she has accepted a contribution of $2 million from a single donor who currently has business before the commission. And let me add, the one she's trying to get elected on to be one of the three votes. From donating to Beto O'Rourke's campaign to voicing support for the Defund the Police movement for critical race theory and abortion to advocating for increased regulations on oil and gas industry, it's clear conservatives can't trust Sarah Stogner. And that's right. Sarah Stogner's a candidate obviously put up by this transsexual oil person or friend and lawyer to run for the commission because of his problem. And the whole thing she's run on is, well, Wayne Christian's, he's got no integrity because he takes contributions, which of course are not private and secret. They're out in the public. This Stogner's been running the whole time on not taking any, but now you've got the big filing from before, right before the primary all the way through these months through up before the runoff. And all of a sudden, we found out $2 million from this person with business ahead of it, in front of the commission. So, you know, reminder, she's used that contribution for an $800,000 television ad buy. That's a far cry from the viral video that gained Stogner notoriety and public attention in February, in which she posed mostly nude to top an oil pump jack. There you go.
Fred on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
For decades throughout West Texas, Tommy Klein Construction has been a leader in commercial construction. That experience is your assurance that Tommy Klein Construction can do your job right the first time and understands all the government codes with which you must comply. Tommy Klein Construction satisfies state HUB and federal woman-owned business requirements too. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them at 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
As a business manager, are you concerned that your confidential emails to your clients might get read by the wrong party? Ever have to tell your clients to check their spam folders for your emails or instruct them on how to send large file attachments? At Jamoli Media, we have a solution. A solution that will help you save time, money, and reduce stress. Secure Client Portals. Privately and securely send and receive files and communications in your business's own private and customized portal. Contact Jamoli Media, JEMULLY.com. Jamoli.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only one part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture so you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact Mark Miller, your Abilene Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 3849 Oldham Lane or visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
Corley Demo and Construction is ready to clear and excavate for your house or commercial building foundation pad. Excavation down to 10 feet, plumbing and electrical trenching too, and dump trucks to haul dirt in or out. Corley Demo and Construction cleans it up and levels it off right. Free estimates. Contact us today at CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com. Quality work, quality cleanup. CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com. CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com.
Listening to Brett should be required for all politicians and students. Remember, the learning never stops. Now, more Brett on Texas.
Welcome back to Pride on Texas. Another bit in our listening region for on the runoffs. Brandon Walton's has a piece talking about, it's a piece, establishment rallies an attempt to save incumbent lawmakers. Just one piece of it I want to look at, and that's House District 70 that I talked about yesterday, because I highly recommend his opponent, Mike Olcott, in House District 60. Now, did I say 70? Oh, well, my brain's telling me I misspoke. It's House District 60. Brandon writes, similarly in House District 60, State Rep. Glenn Rogers of Mineral Wells reports raising $750,939, much of that money from the Austin lobby, with the Texas Realtors PAC donating $30,000 directly, in addition to tens of thousands of dollars in in-kind activity. Rogers also was a recipient of $25,000 from Charles Butt. He's the big heir, the head of HEB, and they're the biggest Democrat backers. Folks, they're smart. They didn't keep, when Republicans took over, and I was very close with some Republicans who were friends with them and, you know, thought I was part of their move. Charles Butt and HEB, these people are all about trying to destroy conservatives. Now, they give a lot of money to Democrats, Charles Butt gives a lot of money to Democrats, even in general elections. However, his real insidious work has been to target conservatives and deeply fund moderates, you know, like Joe Strauss and these Republicans in their campaigns, so that conservatives don't dominate the Republican Party, just so you know. Anyway, additionally, Rogers' report shows nearly $200,000 in campaign donations and activity from Speaker Dade Phelan. And so they're trying to save him because he'll go along with them. He's not for real property tax reform and a lot of things. I mean, certainly extremely anti-school choice and everything else. HD 60, I truly recommend Mike Olcott. We've had him on the show. You can go to prideontexas.com and look at the interviews page, and you'll find an interview we did with him. Very nice, very well-spoken man. I want to get to a piece by Grayson Key at the Spectator World. I just have to do this. I've got another piece from Merrill Matthews, our good friend. What share of the Hispanic vote would give the GOP political dominance? It's an op-ed he had in The Hill. I'll get to that later this week, or maybe I'll call Merrill, have him on the show. I want to get through as much of this piece as I can. It's titled, Here's to the Christian Knuckle Draggers. At the conservative Christian schools I attended, from kindergarten through the end of undergrad, I became familiar with two types of believers, the knuckle draggers and the nuance mongers. This is Grayson Key writing. The knuckle draggers didn't swear or drink. They watched dumb, faith-based movies like God's Not Dead. Secular music was suspect. Any engagement with the products of mainstream culture was accompanied by a humorless and formulaic discussion of how said opus fit into a Christian worldview. And when election time rolled around, they didn't have to think twice. Only one issue mattered. Democrats wanted to kill babies, so voting anything other than straight GOP ticket was out of the question. Then there were the nuance mongers, who were eager to prove they weren't like those Christians. These are the people I think that are embarrassed to their faith. But they weren't averse to F-bombs or Irish car bombs. They liked Scorsese and Tarantino. They read cool, edgy stuff like Kerouac and Camus and A Clockwork Orange. They were pro-life, of course, and they generally leaned Republican, but as a theoretical matter, voting a straight ticket every time was for squares who watched Fox News. Then came the 2016 election. The nuance mongers wrote long, soul-searching Facebook posts about how supporting an immoral candidate like Trump would, quote, hurt our witness, end quote. By the way, they haven't really studied their Old Testament. God used a lot of immoral people, including people he had condemned to do a lot of his things. They brought up immigration and healthcare policy and racial reconciliation. They explained at great length that to be truly pro-life, you had to accept the majority of Democratic Party platform. They worried about creeping authoritarianism, and in the end, they pulled the lever for Hillary. I know, he writes, because I was one of them. Wow, what a confession. I didn't vote for Trump in 2016. In fact, I voted for Hillary, this guy writes, not because I liked her, but because I thought Trump would destroy the Republican Party for a generation and felt sure Hillary would be a one-term president. I also wanted to be seen as decent and intellectual person, not as a hillbilly cultist. I wanted to be able to listen to NPR and feel like part of the club. Three circumstances rescued me from the path of destruction. First, I spent some time in a Facebook group for students and alums who drifted to the left, where I realized what insufferable bullies wokeness turns people into. I began to realize that unless I submitted fully to progressive dogma, something that even at my most, quote, open-minded, end quote, I was never willing to do, I'd never be truly accepted by them. Second, I started grad school at Georgetown University, where I experienced firsthand the censorious madness overtaking our institutions. Third, I discovered that traditionalism is the truest form of rebellion, and I made friends who had arrived at the same conclusion. We all drank beer and listened to Kendrick Lamar, but we've drifted toward Rome and Constantinople, not toward progressive evangelicalism or the queer-affirming mainline. Unfortunately, many of these nuance mongers never found that off-ramp. Between 2016 and 2020, that off-ramp, not off-ramp, I mean, the inflection matters. Many of the nuance mongers never found that off-ramp, meaning the off-ramp from their movement and conversion into full leftist dogma. Between 16 and 20, they shared drumpf memes, They read think pieces about the dangers of Christian nationalism. They attended BLM rallies and pride parades. That's homosexual, pro-open sin parades. They read G.M.R. Tisby's The Color of Compromise and Kristen Cobb's Dumais' Jesus and John Wayne. And in 2020, they voted for Joe Biden for a return to kindness and normalcy. So much for their rebellion. Once, when they were lost in the dark forest of fundamentalism, they believed everything their pastor told them. Now, having achieved enlightenment, they believe everything Hollywood and CNN and the universities and Fortune 500 tell them. People who vote straight Republican, they've learned, are troglodytes. But people who vote straight Democrat, aside from the occasional bone thrown to a Larry Hogan or Chris Sununu, are wonderfully open-minded. It's hard to blame them. You operate within the parameters we've been given, within the Overton window as determined by legacy media. Then it's hard to come to any other conclusion. The playing surface printed on the game board looks fair. It's easy to overlook that the board itself isn't level. Purpose of nuance and dialogue is never to increase mutual understanding. It's to pull you further to the left. And that's a lesson you should all learn. He didn't mean literally. Nuance and dialogue can be a discovery tool, but that's not how it's used in our society, and not even by the people masquerading as intellectuals on universities. Listen to the line. The purpose of nuance and dialogue is never to increase mutual understanding. It's to pull you further to the left. The goal is not to question accepted orthodoxies, but to bring uncooperative social elements under the umbrella of state ideology. And he talks about Rob Dreher making a point about invitations to dialogue between theologically liberal and theologically conservative elements in Christian denominations. I see the denominations. I see this with these councils that all got together with the lefty church pastors and the Muslims, you know, and the war on terror all over town. I'm always being quoted in the press and writing articles, and you see it everywhere. And I want to skip forward in this. And he points out that evangelicals seem especially prone to going squish, and he talks about some theology in this. But he says at the end, and thank God for the knuckle, and he means thank God for the knuckle draggers who resisted the pull, who knew instinctively that the mass slaughter of the unborn was our great national sin and refused to allow sophistry to sway them from that conviction. Trump's demolition derby political style may have appealed to the disaffected white working class, especially those for whom moral rectitude and family values had become anachronisms. But he'd never have become president without millions of mild-mannered churchgoers who held their noses and voted for him because he'd appoint pro-life justices. Now, thanks to them, those knuckle-draggers that all the nuanced pseudo-intellectuals make fun of and still hate, Roe is about to be overturned by the Supreme Court. Amen. Amen. The key line you've got to remember in this piece, though, is that the purpose of nuance and dialogue is never to increase mutual understanding. It's to pull you further to the left. Thanks for joining us, my good friends. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.